The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
All right, welcome everybody back to another episode of MD Radio, mobile style. I am on the road, and I'm back after that Thanksgiving holiday. Some of you might have missed what went down at the first ever Ferrigno Legacy competition held in Santa Barbara, where the Incredible Hulk moved Ferrigno through his hat into the arena of promoters. And he was certainly one that did it right the first time out. If I'm breaking up, I'll be clear in about two more minutes here, trying to find an opening amongst these buildings. So we took a week off for the Thanksgiving feast, and I'm hoping everybody's back in the gym after getting fat and happy over the holiday weekend, surviving the blizzard that took place up in Buffalo and parts of the eastern seaboard. But out in sunny California, it was a cool 85 degrees, and the Incredible Hulk was throwing down its first NPCIF DBE Pro-Am competition, where on the pro side, we saw the German Ronnie Rockel walk off with the first place in Olympia qualification for 2015. That's right, Ronnie Rockel is back, and all of 5'6", 220 pounds. The guys were all relatively in good condition, had a full lineup of IFBB pros on the men's portion. The depth of field was not that deep, but after Ronnie Rockel, the guys could have been scattered all over the map. Surprisingly, we saw a former USA champion at 6-foot-plus, Omar Deckard, land in the fifth-place spot. Unusual characteristic for Omar. He's always been one of those guys that were criticized for just not being big enough, being slightly too tall, not thick enough, not separated enough. A little bit more legs could help. But, you know, again, you're only as good as the lineup, and in this particular instance, he wound up in fifth place. Which is to be commended because no one really had him in the top five, but the judges. In fourth place, Marius Duene flew in from South Africa. It was only about a year ago this guy retired from professional bodybuilding. Had some health issues, had a baby after he won the Tampa Pro Championships in Florida. Marius came out of retirement to just be another body on the stage, but here cracked the top four. Could have been top three. But it's a long trip from South Africa. Definitely a little bit of more separation would have helped him in this competition. And Robert P. I call him Robert P. because forget about it. I stare his name up every time I try, so I'm not even going to say it. But the Poland, came all the way from Poland, Robert P., a perennial top five-ish kind of bodybuilder, showed up in relatively hard condition. He was surprisingly one of the few guys on stage that looked like he had IFBB muscularity, and by that I mean quality, maturity, thickness, and separation. But Robert P. showed up with a bit of a stomach, and he's been criticized recently as a little bit too much stomach distension. And if I'm Robert P., I either try to come in a little bit lighter or really focus on controlling the midsection in between poses, because that's when it's noticeably distended. But when he hits his abs, he's got a full rack. Looks like an armadillo with that stomach, like a shell casing for a turtle. But when he turns around to hit the back shots and the side shots, he just absolutely loses control of his midsection, and it just takes away from what he brings to the stage. Nevertheless, he wound up in third place. And in second place, we had, sophomore pro, Big Brad Rowe. Some people were skeptical about this placement. He's a little bit bottom-heavy. But overall, pose for pose, he seemed to come together nicely. The fact that nobody really knows who he is might have played in his favor because he had a very athletic, pleasing to the eye physique, but kind of forgettable appearance. There was nothing that really stood out, nothing that jumped right out at you, and that's the kind of physique I think the judges like because there wasn't enough to criticize him or there weren't enough strong points to really overshadow his weaknesses. Could he be thicker in the back? Yes. Could he have more upper body thickness overall? Yes. But it's a work in progress, and the sum total looked more impressive than the distended stomach of Robert P. and the softness of Marius Stone. So, I mean, I certainly didn't have Brad Rowe in fifth place. So with that being said, out of the two guys he beat in fourth and third, I had to give Brad Rowe the benefit of the doubt. So I agreed with the judges with Brad in second. Of course, Ronnie Rocco in a landslide for the victory, qualified for the Mr. Olympia. He's back, and congratulations to him. That's something he'll be able to brag about, winning Lou Ferrigno's first ever pro championship in Santa Barbara, where it was a beautiful weekend. On the amateur side, in the NPC, Andre Adams won the overall. Little guy, not too big. He looked like he might have been from the middleweight division. It might have been light heavy. I wasn't paying close attention, but I was rocking the microphone, which is why I wasn't doing the coverage. We had Fittadina down there doing that. But he looked really good. In terms of the depth of the amateur competition, Andre was well deserving of that overall title, and Lou Ferrigno was happy to have him there. A couple of side notes. Will Harris came out. He doesn't say how old he is, but I would argue that he was probably the oldest guy on the show. Kind of an entertainer, but there was a whole lot of dancing going on between him and Jerome Ferguson. I looked down at Lou. He wasn't smiling. Looked over at Steve Weinberger, our head judge. He wasn't smiling. But surprisingly, these guys got the loudest crowd response with the fewest amount of bodybuilding poses. Go figure that you go to a bodybuilding show and you see a bunch of 40-plus men dancing around on stage with bodybuilding poses kind of being an afterthought, almost a lost art. I mean, I asked the audience, I said, hey, you guys like that? And with an overwhelming response, akin to what Melvin Anthony and Durham Charles used to get, these fans liked it. But you'd be hard-pressed to think that, you know, we weren't that far away from basically a Chippendales display. Men in thongs jumping around, shaking and grooving, bumping and grinding. Oh, and by the way, here's a front double bicep. Here's a back lat spread. Here's an ab shot. I mean, it was almost an afterthought. After paying a little bit closer attention to the situation, I was disinterested in what I was seeing. It didn't move me to the point where I wanted to see more. I think we are getting away from what brings people to our sport, which is the art of posing. And it certainly that night, it looked like a lost art of posing was happening right in front of my eyes on that stage from that podium. It was nothing that drew me in, and I even winced a little bit some of the moves they were making. That being said, going forward, the women's physique display was very good, very professional. And I didn't mind what the women's physique people were bringing to the stage. It looked very refreshing as they went through their routines as a bodybuilding light. But they looked very classy when they decided to move a little bit on a shuck and jive. But men's bodybuilding has got to return back to its roots. I looked over Ed Corney. And I talked to Ed Corney afterwards and said, Ed, were you impressed? He said, I was disgusted. This is one of the best poses of all time. The legend Ed Corney said what he saw on the posing stage for men's bodybuilding was disgusting. That's a strong statement from a veteran, a guy who at 44 years old appeared in his first major show, the Mr. Olympia, 1975 in Pretoria, South Africa, where Arnold Schwarzenegger said this was his all-time best poser. He didn't have anything good to say about the posing. And on a side note, it was a lot of background noise. The guys were not posing to anything memorable in terms of music. So, guys, you need to pay more attention to display, professionalism. Some of the posing routines are more suited for guest posing. I know Jerome Ferguson loves to get up there and do the cowboy dance, and that would be great if he was guest posing, but in competition, I can't imagine that it was winning over any of the scores from the judges. The posing round, for the record, has been stricken in terms of scoring. There's no scoring taking place during the posing round, so literally, all bets are off. Any bodybuilder up there with an IFBB pro card can get up there and do whatever the hell they want to do, and no one can reel them in. The only thing that can happen to a bodybuilder on a posing stage is, unless they have music that has F-bombs and curse words, they can go up there and lay down on the stage if they want to. Or they can twerk. So, I don't know. I think there must be some type of referendum, some type of mandatory amount of posing that has to take place. If we're in the posing round, we need to see some posing. That's just my take on it. But with that being said, I'm going to move the show forward. Lou Ferrigno, kudos to you. Chris Minette, great job. Lou Ferrigno Jr., excellent at the microphone. Overall, I think everyone enjoyed what was happening in Santa Barbara, and Lou Ferrigno will be back for year number two without question. So let's bring on our first guest. We got a guest calling in by way of Connecticut, the natural Evan Sinopani. Welcome to NB Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Sean? How are you?
Big E, tell me about the weather.
Oh, dude, it's cold today. Today especially. left my house this morning. Then, usually try to jump in the car quick, and I head to the gym. So, I usually just wear my shorts and a sweatshirt, and I was walking out to my truck this morning. I was like, damn, shorts was a bad choice today.
Yeah, well, did you hear what I just got done waxing on the microphone here a minute ago? Did you hear me talking about what went down in Santa Barbara?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so real quick before we get too far along, coming off of Santa Barbara, last pro show of the year, a lot of conversation about the lack of performance posing during the posing round. I've watched you pose. I've seen you come along. You seem to be one of the guys still paying particular attention to putting on a performance in terms of showing your body at its best. What I witnessed up there was a lot of hee-haw, yahoo, look at me. And it was like, who let the dogs out type of thing. And some of the guys actually forgot they were at a bodybuilding show. What's your take on that? Because I know when I got involved with bodybuilding, I looked at Bob Paris, I looked at Muhammad McAway,
yes.
Fell in love with what Labrada brought. I mean, there were routines.
And before I say anything, I'm going to preface it by saying I don't consider myself a great poser or a great entertainer or a great performer. But it is something that I really do put effort into, and I really do try, because I do want to give do the sport justice, and I do want to give my do my physique justice. I don't want to get up there and make myself look like a fool. And I agree with you. To look back at some of these past performances, these really, really classic routines, I think they're fantastic. And, that's why I got to give credit to Dennis Wolf. He's somebody who, show after show, year after year, he always brings something really classic and powerful. And, it shows, it's apparent when he's up there that it took effort, it took some time to put it together, it took some practice. It's one thing to get up there. A lot of the times people will say, oh, this guy, he's such a great poser. But if you really look at it, he's not a great poser. So he'll get up there and he'll dance and he'll move and he'll, the crowd may be entertained by him. But like you said, maybe they'll throw in a shot here or there, but they're not even really getting any poses.
Right, right.
It's like, come on, man. We want to see some moves, but... Right. I want to see we want to see some real posing too.
Well, I get the entertainment component, but are we really being entertained by watching 230, 240 plus pound guys try to dance? Because I would certainly not want to pay to see dancers trying to pose.
Me personally, I'm not. It's not my style. No. And I can't speak for everybody, but no, it's not something I can identify with, no.
Well, that being said, again, I hope 2015 brings us back to what made the sport likable, not entertaining, but likable. Look, I don't go to a bodybuilding show to be entertained, whether it's prejudging or the finals. I go to see the best built bodies in the world. I think from the top down, at the top, I think maybe they need to be notified that, look, guys, when you go to do your posing round, even though it's not scored, remember you're at a damn bodybuilding show. Right. And you've got to do the bodybuilding poses. I mean, one guy hit probably bodybuilding shots in his posing routine.
He didn't have to do anything.
There's no blueprint for what you have to do in the posing round.
Right, right. You know, I mean, me personally, I understand people may want to be entertained. Me personally, as a fan of the sport, and also as a competitor, I would much rather look at a guy and feel admiration, and look at him and say, "Man, I admire that. You know, I see what he's doing, and wow, that's what a display he's putting on. That's admirable." I would much rather feel that than say, "Oh, look, that's funny. He's doing the robot," or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got you, bro.
I don't think it does the whole thing justice.
Exactly. I mean, listen. At the end of the day, you got to pay for your tanning. You got to pay for your posing trunks. You got to, you know, cart around all your food and all the other expenses that come along with it. If you're gonna spend any other money, spend it on a choreographer.
Right.
That is, at the end of the day, that's all we have as we go into retirement, is we look back on video, and now it's on YouTube, is that routine. And if that routine doesn't mean anything to the athlete, it's going to be very forgettable to the fan. That's just my little two cents.
Yeah, that's
a good
point.
That's
a great point.
But I mean, and you know, if you have to practice on your guest posing, because you can do whatever the hell you want to do at guest posing, right?
Right.
Find out what works. Hell, if you're not getting the response at the guest posing, don't bring it to a contest. But I was really disenchanted when I saw the reaction of the crowd. You couldn't really tell, Evan, if they were cheering for some of these guys that were trying to dance, or if they were laughing at these guys trying to dance. It certainly sounded like they were being laughed at. You know what I mean? They're like,
right,
"Oh my god."
Right.
All right, moving along. We're coming to the close of the year. Evan, you kind of, you went back into your turtle mode. You disappeared for a little bit, and rightfully so. I think you probably got some pretty big plans on tap for 2015. So on your list of three important things for 2015, let's hear them in order from the most important to the least important for 2015 for Evan Stintapani.
The three most important things. Just three most important things, period. You mean, or as it pertains to bodybuilding?
We're talking bodybuilding first. We'll get into your personal life later.
For bodybuilding, number one is win the Arnold Classic. I shouldn't say that's number one, because I have to say number one is to, over these next 13 weeks, to have the best prep I've ever had, and it's certainly aligned to be exactly that. Right now it's shaping up to be that. I'm bigger than I've been in a long time, probably ever. And I'm starting at a point in the prep where my training is so strong. This was something that was particularly important to me, because for me, for my physique to be at its best, I need to be doing the basic compound movements, and I need to be doing them heavy. That's the times when my physique has looked its best. When I'm squatting heavy, when I'm deadlifting heavy, when I'm bench pressing heavy, when my body's strong, it looks better. And that's exactly what's happening right now. My squat is incredibly strong, and it's getting stronger every week. Same thing, I'm essentially on all the lifts. And, I'm about 290 pounds right now, and I'm getting leaner each week, but kind of holding that body weight, which is fantastic. It certainly has the makings to be the best preparation I've ever had, and as a result of it, I would say number two is to win the Arnold Classic, which I feel will be a result of this. And number three, I would have to say, I have some business things that I'm focusing on, some stuff in the background. I don't want to say too much, but the main idea being to you know, and this is, to be honest, this is something I should have been doing all along. I mean, I've been in this sport now for, geez, close to 10 years, you know, and I have to say probably one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. You know, I had the good fortune to have some good contracts, and I think I made the mistake of relying on them too much, to be honest. I should have been working all along to establish something of my own. And that's something I'm working diligently on right now. The 2015 is going to be the year when things come to fruition for me business wise.
So we have some perspective. A lot of bodybuilders get comfortable relying on nickels and dimes and hoping that they add up to dollars and cents, and they can real fast. But again, if it's all tied in from the bodybuilding, what you're basically saying, you know, hindsight, you should not have given up anything outside of bodybuilding that could have been revenue earning just to bodybuild. Am I reading you right?
Yes, that. And also I could have taken what was, you know, what I was doing in bodybuilding and used it, you know, to establish myself in other things. Because at the end of the day, no matter how good your contracts are, you don't know how long it's going to last. You don't know. I mean, everybody's, you know, essentially an injury away from the end. But again, you know, not acting out of fear, but in the end, I think everybody would prefer to be financially independent. And rather than depend on, you know, a contract, no matter who it's from, we would ideally all have our own thing so that we have that independence. And that's something that, you know, I only began to see in the past couple of years, and like I said, I regret not focusing on it earlier.
Well, you know, you can't really regret it. It comes with age, and it's wisdom, and that's part of the growing process. You know, I relate that to one mistake I made back in 1993. I bought a condo one block from the beach for $188,000, just real quick. We were in a recession. It was really cheap, and I bought it with a Mr. Olympia check. And I put a down payment on it. I kept it all the way up to 2001, but I was doing a lot of training in Las Vegas. So I bought a townhouse in Las Vegas, and as luck would have it, I decided to retire in 2001. So I wasn't going to Vegas as much. And guess what happened in Las Vegas? The market crashed in Las Vegas, right? And the place I bought in Vegas was worth almost half of what I actually paid for it. I walked away with a short sale on it. Well, the property at the beach that I should have just kept and never paid attention to is now worth over $500,000, and I would have owned it free and clear. So yeah. with age comes wisdom. You're lucky just in the throes of your career to make that adjustment, and why let the mind go to waste when the body's doing the work and you can actually do both? So that's good words of wisdom for other guys out there listening, that you get your pro cards, you get your contract, and you think life is good. Those contracts come and go, and the economy changes, so you got to find your own.
Yes.
In finding your own, tell me real briefly about fatherhood, because that's a different type of training as a father than as it were when you are just concentrating on yourself.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah. I guess it is training in its own regard. you know, I mean, I'm fortunate where my wife is able to be with our daughter every day. You know, she's in preschool now, so she's out of the house a few hours each day. But you know, it's not like I'm having to cover that task entirely myself. I give a lot of credit, you know, to my wife, who, you know, really, she makes our daughter her job. So I mean, I'm lucky where I come home from the gym and, you know, it's all hugs and smiles for me.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, there's challenges, and you know, more than anything, it's the pressure, knowing that it's you, man. This is all you. If you screw up, everybody goes down. So it's
right.
You know, as a man, and you know, you run the house, and you know that it depends on you. You know that they're depending on you. So it's more in the form of that than anything else, just knowing, all right, man, you've got, you know, you've got what you've accomplished in bodybuilding. You've got some thoughts of your own. It's time to make it happen. because, you know, to say, well, we'll see what happens in bodybuilding. You know, we'll leave it up to chance for the next contract. No way, man. It's something I feel inclined. I have to make happen myself, because I'm not going to leave my future or their future up to, you know, essentially up to somebody else. And who's going to give me a contract? No way.
Smart. So we're going to be headed into Columbus, Ohio in March. It's not going to be a walk in the park. We have an Arnold Classic in Australia. First question first. Ohio is your debut for 2015, correct? That's what you have your sights set for?
Columbus. I'm sorry, one more time?
You're going to peak for the Arnold Classic in Columbus in March?
That's correct. Yep, that will be the first show of the year, and pulling out all the stops for that show.
Do you have plans to go to the first Arnold Classic in Australia a week later?
I'm giving a lot of consideration to it. More than likely, I will.
As a matter of fact, I think the first time you went to Australia, I put you in contact with people that wanted to get you out there because you were very popular, and you went and you made a small fortune out there because of your popularity. So it stands to reason that would be a likely move, considering you're already in shape. What are you going to do, stay home and get fat?
Right, yeah. I mean, hey, take another couple of weeks, go to Australia, compete, meet the fans, and enjoy it. Yeah, absolutely, I agree. And body, you know, Australia is great. The fans are great. That's exactly how I'm looking at it. Why stop in Ohio?
Well, we got 2 minutes of commercial here, and so you're not going to have a walk in the park. I know Justin Compton's planning on going. A few other guys are going. What do you got to do to win this show, Evan, since your last show? What do you have to do?
10 more pounds in rock hard condition, and I do not believe that anyone will stop me. And that's exactly what I'm going to bring to that stage.
Are you working alone?
Nope. I'm working with Oscar Arden. We worked together back in 2009 for the New York Pro. And I just got back from Brooklyn probably about an hour ago. I've been driving down there. Oscar and I have been sharing the time. I'll go see him a couple times. He'll come see me. But I've been seeing him 3 times a week. We've been busting ass, and the progress we're making is fantastic.
That's awesome. We look forward to hearing from you when we come back from the top of the year as you head strong into the 27th Arnold Classic weekend in Columbus, Ohio. The All-American, Evan Centopani. We look forward to big things from you, my man, in 2015.
All right. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in. We're going to take a commercial break right here at Indy Radio. Come back on the other side with the promoter of the L.A. Fit Expo coming up February 7th and 8th right here in downtown Los Angeles after this commercial break.
This is Marcus Haley of The Common, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit powerhousegym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony. It's a movie.
Oh, well, we're like talking bodybuilding in the hardcore fashion with Evan Sunapani as we head into the 2015 bodybuilding season. Now that the 2014 bodybuilding season is in the record books, as everyone knows, this is probably like the downtime, with the exception of Don Lindsay's show out here December the 13th, I believe, in Culver City. That's officially the end of our bodybuilding season out here as we know it. And then everyone goes into hibernation, family, fatness mode, enjoying the food and the fruits of their labor and drinks as we take in the new year. And right around that time, people start to come back out with their new gym memberships and their workout clothes and all that good stuff. And by the end of January, people start to feel brave enough to put their tank tops back on. And no place better to display those tank tops than right here in sunny Southern California, where on February the 7th and 8th, the LA Fit Expo returns to the Southland. Let's bring on the promoter, Big Mark Mazurek, from right here in LA. Mark, welcome back to MD Radio.
Hey, Sean, how you been? Thanks for having me.
All right, brother, you sound like you're calling from a mobile phone. You on the road?
Yeah, actually I am. I'm trying to avoid the downtown fires and have to go the long way from Glendale.
Oh, that's right. We had, for those of you listening, we had a massive downtown Los Angeles fire yesterday, which shut down traffic all over the place and kind of created a lot of chaos out here, kind of like when the rains come to California. But Mark, you never stop, man. You're on the go. I'm sure you're still working on that show out there. And like, for the people that don't know, let's give them a little history lesson. The LA Fit Expo has been taking place downtown at the Convention Center for how long now?
Well, this will be our 12th year in total and the 8th year at the LA Convention Center.
Yeah, and it seems like it just continues to grow and you continually add the growing list of personalities.
Yeah, it's been growing by leaps and bounds. And in fact, last year, which was by far a record-setting year, we had 455 exhibit booths, and with 2 months to go before this year's show, we're already up to 640. So it's grown in both size and quantity, and the number of people who attended last year was just under 50,000. It was like 49,000 plus. So it's become a major show, by far the biggest one on the West Coast.
I'm just trying to figure out what we can attribute the growth to. Is it the fact that more people are just health conscious, or that we've crossed into an area where it's more inclusive of various disciplines that involve fitness?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think what we find is that when we add more events, like a CrossFit event or a calisthenics bodyweight exercises competition, that they each bring their own following of both competitors as well as fans. And then the other thing that we're seeing a lot of is the effect of social media. You know, in your day and my day, when we were growing up in the sport, somebody paid their dues. They went through the ranks. They won amateur shows. They eventually got a pro card. They worked their way up. They built a fan base, and all of a sudden, you know, there were people who came out to see them. nowadays with social media and the internet, there are celebrities popping up left and right that I've never even heard of. They show up at the expo, they have a booth, or they're in someone else's booth, and there's a line 300 people long just waiting to meet them. And I walk by and I'm like, wait a minute, who's that? So I think there's a couple of influences, a couple of forces that are at play. I do think, though, that you touched on another one, which is that there are more people starting to realize that fitness and diet are not just for getting in shape and being a competitive athlete. It's just for improving the quality of life and possibly eliminating some of the problems that we encounter with diseases. And it's great to see that trend happening.
Yeah, well, social media definitely plays a strong role. I mean, you got a guy on social media that's got a million followers that you've never heard of, and you show up at these booths, and there's all of his fans. You're like, wow. So that definitely brings an added component to these expos when A, B, and C company buy a booth, and they put that person out in that booth, and it's a welcome surprise, I imagine, for a promoter like yourself to see a booth that comes in and they bring all this foot traffic with the personality that you've never even heard of. I mean, like, thank you. That being said, though, this is also anchored by the all-natural Ironman Naturally competition on the amateur side. This once was anchored by the pro Ironman contest for bodybuilding, but this is much more than a bodybuilding weekend. Like you said, it's more inclusive of a lot of different things. As a matter of fact, Subway sandwiches, I believe I've seen them being advertised. Are you guys playing in the grocery stores? You're one of the few expos that it's not all about bodybuilding, and you are seem to be headed in the right direction and grabbing different types of people to come through the door. Is there something else that's being advertised that weekend? Typically, there's another convention, and you get some spillover traffic from other things going on the same weekend, correct?
Well, sometimes, but we've grown to the point now where we're using all four halls of the South Hall of the Convention Center. So after last year's crowds, it was so crowded, it was so difficult to get up and down the aisles that the first thing we did is we grabbed the fourth hall. And then once we had that, we then expanded the width of the aisles. So most of our aisles are going to be 15 to 20 feet wide. And that's going to hopefully disperse the crowds and allow people to go freely back and forth from the booths and the competitions. And in total now, we'll have over 345,000 square feet worth of space. So it uses up the whole South Hall of the Convention Center. But that particular weekend is also the Grammy Awards in L.A. And
that's a totally separate
crowd. We don't get too much spillover and vice versa. But it certainly causes some crowds downtown L.A., and especially with the hotels and the restaurants.
Yeah, and so people that don't know, where this is actually being held, the L.A. Convention Center, is also where the L.A. Car Show takes place. So it's a massive facility right behind Staples Center in downtown L.A., right off of Figueroa and the 10 Freeway over in that general area, right behind where the Lakers play and the Kings play. So when you have anything going on down there, it's crazy. As a matter of fact, I went to the Expo one year, and I think you had a Sugar Shane Mosley fight. You had the WWE was in town. You had a Clipper game going on. So it can get jam-packed. But fortunately, it is over a two-day period. So why don't we get some statistics on how we go about the information of that weekend, Mark?
Well, anyone who's interested could visit our website, www.thefitexpo.com. And they can see information about the schedule each day, all the different contests, all the different athletes that are appearing, all the different companies that are exhibiting, and they can come get free samples. They can come buy products. There'll be new products that will be unveiled. There'll be old products that will be sold at discounts. So there's really great opportunities for people who are interested in either sampling or purchasing different products. And then they can actually go to any of the gyms around Southern California in the weeks coming up, as well as, you mentioned, Subway restaurants, Ralph's supermarkets, GNC stores, and they can pick up $10 off coupons. So that saves them about half price on getting in as well.
Right, that's awesome. And so who else is out there? Who else is responsible for this? Excellent. It takes a village, and you're working with some pretty good characters out there that you built reputations with. Tell us about some of the sponsors, some of the people that helped put this weekend together for you.
Well, bodybuilding.com has been our title sponsor for about 5 years now, and they've been an invaluable resource, not only do they help support the events financially with their sponsorship, and they also help promote it through their website. The Body Space competition, which features the male and female winners and who become spokespeople for them for the following year, has become a very popular event both at the expo and online at their website. So they drive a lot of people who come to the event, Likewise, we've had tremendous success and support over the years from companies like Optimum Nutrition, Metrex, and Pure Protein. We have the Subway restaurants, the Ralph supermarkets have been with us for years. And this year we have a couple of new ones coming on board. Beast Sports has stepped up to become a sponsor, Performix. We've got Gymshark coming over from England, and Lifttag Sport, which is a new company here that debuted last year at our event. They're taking a big sponsorship. So it's nice to see because there seems to be a lot of growth within the industry, which is a good sign for everybody from the retailers to the supplement lines themselves and of course, for the promoters of the events that they sponsor and support.
And so is there an official host hotel? I know these hotels, they sell out fast down there. Some people come in from far and wide for that weekend. I know you got the Marriott down at LA Live and the Ritz-Carlton and the Lux and the Hotel Figueroa. Is there any other hotels out there?
Yeah, the Millennium Biltmore and a couple of others that we've had to get, which is a little bit further away, a couple blocks further than we're used to. But because of the crowd and because of the Grammys, we had to expand the radius of hotels. But again, if you go on the website, there's a link for people who are attending, and there's a separate space for hotels that will give them all the details and the special rates and the codes that they can get as well. And that's a great idea, by the way. If people are driving in, even in L.A., obviously, you know, it could take you hours to get here with traffic. Make a weekend out of it. Come enjoy downtown. Check out the restaurants in L.A. Live or go to a show or a game, like you say, if there's something around that they can see and enjoy it. Then come to the expo at least one of the days, if not both of them, because not everything that takes place on, you know, one day is there the next day and vice versa.
No doubt. I mean, I live here, and I get a hotel down there, Mark. And I stay the weekend. You got Fleming's Steakhouse. You have the movie theater right there. You have Japanese. You have the Yard House. There's something for everyone down there in terms of food and entertainment, not to mention the personalities that come through those doors, from Tito Ortiz to Julianne to Ronnie Coleman, Jay Cutler. I mean, the who's who of our industry is there. You guys are doing a great job. So Muscular Development will be there. We'll be putting up some paparazzi pictures and getting some interviews as well. And I'll catch up with you, Mark. If anything comes up between now and then that you want to get for our listeners, come back here to Muscularville Radio and let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. I will, Sean. I always appreciate it. And by the way, we're going to have some first-time athletes out at the expo. I know Dennis Wolf is going to be there for the first time, so the Southern California fans who have only seen him in the magazines or online, maybe never had a chance to meet him, they should come down and check it out because he'll be there and a few others as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark. We'll look forward to seeing you in February.
Thanks as always, Sean. Good health. I'll speak to you soon.
Right on. All right, that's one of the hardest working promoters in the business, Mark Mazurek, putting things on in February 7th, 8th, and 9th at the LA Fit Expo. Like you said, he's in his 12th year, and it just continues to grow, and it's a great outcoming. This is the weekend after the Super Bowl, which takes place February the 1st. So you guys get ready, get in the gym, use those memberships, burn that fat, and come out and show off your hot bodies right here in L.A. where, you know, the best bodies in the world are on display constantly. All right, well, with that, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back, and we'll talk about what's left on the calendar. What's happening in 2014? Who is the bodybuilder of the year? What was the biggest story? I'll answer some of those questions right after this final commercial break here at MD Radio.
This is Lonnie Tieper from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from muscle mass, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought after muscle building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMadsRx.com.
But one of the guys that gets a lot of credit is Steve Blackman from Muscular Development. I mean, those guys have done an extraordinary job for years and years and years to promote health, to promote fitness, to promote strength, to promote bodybuilding, powerlifting, weightlifting, and all of those kind of things. So the contributions they made is gigantic, and I hail them for that.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
The nitric oxide war is over. over. MHP introduces InnoBomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with InnoBomb.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
Oh my God! Business as usual, man! I stole you! It's not again!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
This is Jay Cutler, and you listen to Team MD Radio with Sean Ray.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony. It's a movie.
All right, we were just talking with Mark Mazurek, the promoter of the LA Fit Expo, which will be taking place February 7th and 8th right here in Los Angeles. And I can't help but think about, you know, how incredibly massive that show is and how it's developed. It's like the Arnold Classic out in Columbus, Ohio, without the professional bodybuilding side of things, but they do a great job with the Ironman naturally. It's a natural contest, and that fills up the arena in and of itself. It takes place right there next door to the expo. But right before the break, we were talking about, like, the year is coming to an end. I mean, I think I'm going to do a show next week, and then I'm going to shut it down for the rest of the year. So next week will be my year-end show, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to double-check that, but check back with Voice America or check out muscledevelopment.com to find out. But I think next week I'm going to wrap up the year. I've got my holiday season coming up as well. We'll come back on the other side of 2015. But as I was kind of like looking through some things here online, I couldn't help but remember that December, in 2005, I believe it was, or 2008, that was when, you know, Craig Titus wound up in Kelly Ryan, they killed that girl, Melissa Ann James, 2005. And it was in 2008 that they took a plea deal, and Craig wound up in jail for 66 years, 22 to 6 years on murder. He copped to it. And his wife, Kelly Ryan, the former fitness pro, took a deal for 7 to 15 years. And she's come up for parole a couple of times, and she's been turned down. And I just realized that, like, the middle of December every year gets kind of funky, and it takes me back to that place where, for some reason, these guys are celebrating their holidays behind bars for the murder of Melissa Ann James. And that's not to be lost, because she did not deserve to die the way that she did. For those of you that don't know the story, you can look it up online, Craig Titus, Kelly Ryan murder, and it'll pull it up, and you'll get that news. But on the other side of that, a success story, a guy turned 44 years old this past November, and he started out his bodybuilding career as a bantamweight bodybuilder. I met him back in 1991. I was fifth place in the Mr. Olympia, and I just came off of a first place at the Arnold Classic, and I went down to guest pose in Florida, and I met a bodybuilder who I didn't think much of, and then again I went back and I emceed a show called the Junior Nationals, and this guy, I believe at the time, might have been a light heavyweight, and I turn around, and in 1999 he's standing on the same bodybuilding stage as me at the Mr. Olympia. It just happened to turn out to be one of the winningest bodybuilders of our generation, and that's Dexter the Blade Jackson, who right now, if I'm not mistaken, has competed in more Mr. Olympias than any other bodybuilder in history. I'm going to do the math. By next week's show, I'll have the answer. But I think he's competed in more Mr. Olympias than anybody, including Ronnie Coleman. I know I was in 13. I would have had 14 if I wasn't out in 1989. But I think Dexter's right there at 14, maybe 15 Mr. Olympias, and he has done it in grand fashion this year alone. He was, you know, coming off of a fourth place finish. But he also went on to Dubai after that Mr. Olympia and won the Dubai Pro Championships. So Dexter's my bodybuilder of the year. I mean, I don't care. You know, Phil Heath is young. He's in his prime. He's kicking butt. He won his fourth Mr. Olympia title. And he is, you know, the ideal bodybuilder for the moment. But doing what Dexter Jackson is doing, for as long as he's been doing it, at the level he does it at, against the likes of a Dennis Wolf, you know, you've got Sean Roden right there nipping at his heels. And he's up there, you know, once a year with Phil Heath and with Kai Greene. You take those guys out of the equation, and Dexter Jackson's winning shows. He's 44 years old. He's not supposed to be winning shows at 44 years old, and he is. And he doesn't look like he's lost a step. I ideally would love to see Dexter Jackson step into the Arnold Classic this coming March and go up against Evan Sinopani and the young gun, Justin Compton, and win his fifth Arnold Classic and shut the door on Flex Wheeler. Right now, he shares that record of four titles in Columbus with Flex Wheeler, and I would love to see him separate himself. Kai Greene's another one that could probably break that record, but I don't know that he's interested in going back to Columbus. He's got his eyes set on the Olympics only. But Dexter's just, he's just a stud, man. I gave him my Lifetime Achievement Award at the Sean Ray Classic this past August because I'm just blown away that he's still doing it. And I've been retired now for 13 years. I mean, he was in the Olympia that I was in 13 years ago in 2001. He's still doing it, and he's still winning. So without a doubt, he's my bodybuilder of the year. Not comeback, not special asterisk masters. He is my bodybuilder of the year, Dexter the Blade Jackson. Another big story. A lot of bodybuilders have been talking, especially when it comes to muscular development, about, oh, muscular development dumped this guy, muscular development dumped that guy. Let me put some perspective on these contracts, guys. Steve Blessman, out of his generosity, will go out and he'll sign an athlete to a one-year contract and hang on to that guy for a year, maybe two, maybe three, and then decide that, you know what, I want to make room for another guy coming up and won't renew the contract. Well, in the business industry, these pro bodybuilders, they sign a one-year deal. That's what a one-year deal is. It's a one-year contract. So when you don't get renewed, you're not getting dropped. You signed a one-year deal, you got a one-year deal. Steve doesn't harbor grudges. He's not dumping people. He's not exchanging people. He's giving other bodybuilders the same opportunity as those other bodybuilders he took a chance on. So please, when you see this stuff online that a bodybuilder is not renewed, it's not because it's out of malice. It's not because Steve doesn't like them. It's not because the bodybuilders suck. It's business. And if a bodybuilder wants a five-year contract, let the bodybuilder negotiate a five-year contract, and he'll be with Muscular Development for 5 years. But a contract is there for legal binding purposes. So when that contract is up and it doesn't get renewed, the guys shake hands and they go their separate ways. There's no bad blood. The only bad blood takes place in social media and on the boards where people try to make it something it's not. Steve is very generous with his athletes, and he tries to give as many athletes an opportunity as he can. And with that, these athletes are given a one-year deal, a one-year deal, a one-year deal. Some guys get renewed, some guys don't. That's how it is. It's business. They have different responsibilities per each contract. And it doesn't all entail competing and winning. It doesn't all entail taking pictures and being on the boards and making guest appearances. Everyone has a unique, different contract. But when you get that one-year deal and that 1 year is over, there's no expectation to be renewed unless you've had talks and business talks to renew your contract. There's no conversation, there's no talks, and your contract expires, boom. Contract expired, and someone else may be coming in. Steve has that right. So kudos to Steve Blechman, who's still giving out contracts and still giving athletes an opportunity to compete, ease the pain of preparation by putting him in the pages of the magazine, putting some money in their pocket to allow them to enjoy the sport that they love and do what they do. But shame on the people out there that try to badmouth Steve when one of the athletes is not renewed, for whatever reason Steve decides to go a different direction. because that's business. A one-year deal is a one-year deal. It happens in the NFL and the NBA all the time, and no one says nothing. It happens at Muscular Development, and all of a sudden people jump on Steve. Steve's my other person of the year because through all the madness of the growth of men's physique and women's bikini and bodybuilding in general, Steve Bleckman's machine continues to blossom and grow. He's got an A-list of personnel that brings the best quality contest coverage, both print and digital, with every single show. You cannot cover a show better than what Muscular Development does, and that's a testament to what Steve Bleckman continues to do year in and year out. And I can tell you without a hesitation that 2015, all bets are off. Records will be broken. Coverage will be shattered. Muscular Development, number one with a bullet in 2015 when it comes to contest coverage and quality coverage at that. So I want to give a big shout out to Team MD and especially Steve Bleckman for all he does for the world of bodybuilding, health, and fitness. And with that, we've come to a close of another edition of MD Radio. We'll be back next week with our season-ending episode of MD Radio, a year in review. Special thanks to our guests, Evan Sinopani and Mark Mazurek, for calling in. With that, we've come to a close. Thanks for tuning in to MD Radio. I'm Sean Ray. Peace. We're out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.